The following is a public affairs program of WZMO Radio. Sacred Conversations is a 30-minute program with three Marian pastors sitting around a kitchen table with coffee and donuts chatting. Let's listen in.
Welcome back to Sacred Conversations. My name is Father Ed Chiquino. I'm the pastor of St. Mary Catholic Church in Marian, as well as Sacred Hearts Catholic Church in Cardington. And we also have with us
Reverend Jennifer Bass from Epworth United Methodist Church in downtown Marian.
Pastor Chuck Osborne from Dayspring Wesleyan Church.
We also have a special guest with us.
Yeah, I'm Pastor Bo Hummel. I'm also here from Dayspring Wesleyan Church, and I do the kids and young adults here.
This episode, we will be talking about the next generation of the children, perhaps, of those of us who are currently in the church. So next generation's involvement in the life of the church. Which I think is an interesting title, because we talk about next generations, but really, you know, the kids in our church are also the current generation. So in that sense, we don't want to discard them or ignore them. So we're going to be talking about what do we see about the younger generation, how can they be involved in the church, what about those generations who have already fallen away, and parents or grandparents might be concerned about them. And so we'll discuss those concerns, and well, we'll also have Pastor Bo give us some idea of, you know, what kind of ministry that he does, since he ministers to youth and young adults. And so maybe we can start with a particular scripture verse. Pastor Jen, do you have any scripture verses you'd like to read for us?
Sure. So in the book of 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, a young pastor protege, and he writes to him these words in chapter 1. He says, "I know that you sincerely trust the Lord, for you have the faith of your mother, Eunice, and your grandmother, Lois. And this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord." And when I think about this particular scripture, I think about the way that Timothy's mother and grandmother passed on Christian faith to him. And I know that part of what inspired our conversation today is that there seems to be maybe a little anxiety about the future generations of the church, and making sure that we are doing our best to continue to share faith with the younger generations. So when you hear that particular scripture passage, Pastor Chuck, about Timothy and the faith that came down through his family, what do you think about that particular scripture?
Yeah, I was thinking about, like, just in general when kids come up through faith, right? And we've been talking in some meetings about a book that says, you know, where our children have faith. And one of the things it talks about is the idea that, you know, the way that, I don't know, the way kids through our adolescence, the way we come to faith. And it's like, you know, kids have this this wonder and awe. So you can kind of tell them that there's a God, and you could tell them the story of Jonah. You can tell them the story of Moses, and they're just like, yeah, they're all in. Like, they believe it, you know. Again, you could tell them there's a Santa Claus, and they believe there's a Santa Claus, right? So getting kids to faith is easy, and that's why Jesus said, you know, why don't you have faith like a kid? You know, that would be the easiest thing. Then we notice when they get in their teen years, one of the things that begins to happen is their faith is really molded by who's invested in their lives, and sometimes that doesn't become parents, even though parents still play a major role. But I think it's important that you have great leaders, because I bet most of us will, like, if we had a teacher that we really liked in school, we believed everything they said. Mm-hmm. And it was just because we liked that teacher, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have the right people in ministry that they really like, then they're going to believe again what they say. Then we notice in the college years is kind of when they start beginning to question things, right? And mm-hmm. so then it's about getting somebody that can help them with those questions and all that stuff. So it's interesting when Timothy was talking and Paul was kind of quoting and says, it's your mother's faith that really helped you come to this place. And I don't think we can underestimate the influence of a parent making sure that their kid is in church at a young age that will give them a better step forward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's not like that, you know, parents are bringing their kids just because they don't have a babysitter at home. I mean, they're bringing their kids because they want to raise their kids in the faith, and You know, I was just thinking about this gospel verse from, you know, Jesus talking about bringing the little kids, let the kids come to me. So let me read this gospel verse from Matthew, and then maybe I'll kick it over to Pastor Bo to comment, because it's about the children. So it says, "Then children were brought to Jesus that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked them, but Jesus said, 'Let the children come to me and do not prevent them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these.'" And so here's Jesus welcoming these children. Maybe these were, you know, little children, but the fact that he's welcoming little children, I think, means for sure he doesn't want them to just sort of be in the background, you know, the gospel message, and Jesus himself is here for everybody, including the children. So how do you see in your ministry, Pastor Bo, you know, the mindset of kids in regards to the faith?
Well, I think what Pastor Chuck initially said is right. It's easy to convince them. We're running Vacation Bible School and offer the salvation message. You'll get kids praying the prayer. They don't even question it. They want to be a part of what's going on. You ask my story. Why did you want to follow Jesus? I asked him in a heart at 7 years old. And when that lady asked me in Vacation Bible School, I said, well, why wouldn't I? Jesus loves me. And if you say this is what it takes to tell the world I follow Jesus, then I'm going to pray that prayer. I think the struggle then is we have parents bringing their kids to church, bringing their kids to Jesus. But then there comes a point when the kids do start pushing back. When they get to the teenage years, it's easier for parents just to start laying off and not pushing them to come to church because the schedules get so busy. But from the launch point, with the kids being young, I think parents, when they start raising kids, whether they've been in the church or been away from the church, they start remembering, oh, this actually was a value for me when I was a kid. I need to get my kids, my family back into the church. But then there's the next step, which I think we're going to get to eventually, is then what happens? They get that foundation of faith, but then it starts to wane when the questioning begins.
Mm-hmm. Do you have parents who say things like, well, I really just want my child to come to his or her own conclusion about matters of faith? I feel like I've heard that several times. Is that your experience as well?
I think if parents are starting or dealing with teenagers, when the kids are questioning and they don't have the answers or feeling less confident about their own beliefs, their own core values, then it's easier to say, I want my kids to come to their own beliefs. I think a lot of it has to do with parents bring their kids to church because we're the trained people, and so we have all the answers, and therefore it's our job to raise the kids. Mm-hmm. But you read it from the beginning. It was the mom's and the grandma's faith. They were doing the work of pouring into Timothy, and that was the foundation that was put. I think there's a lack of confidence in the parents because of all of our theological training around us, mm-hmm. that they actually have some kind of value to offer, or their faith or their understanding of doctrine is of some value to offer to their kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think, yes, for sure, kids are more likely to stick with the faith if their parents or even their grandparents are actually living it themselves and, you know, living it in the home. And so I think we see that there. So there is something to it for sure that, you know, if it's lived within the family, the kids are more likely to stay with it.
Yeah. And one of the things we noticed with parents and families is that I think somebody said this to me once, I was a youth pastor for 20 years, and so this just kind of rocked my world. But they said, like, a youth pastor's influence on a kid is about 15%. And they said another 5 to 10% comes from, you know, friends. And then they said, but a majority of it actually still comes from parents, whether they believe it or not, whether good or bad. Mm-hmm. So I think we underestimate that sometimes. But I remember somebody in a big setting of all youth pastors asked everybody raise their hand who could remember any Bible lesson that their youth pastor spoke, and there was like one hand that went up, like a message. Mm-hmm. And then they said, how many of you can tell me what your youth pastor was like? And every hand went up. And it really made us realize, like, sometimes it's about the way we live versus what we say. Mm-hmm. And so if we can get parents to really model the faith at home, like, that really speaks into them, right? So if a parent is pretty committed to the church, one of the things we've noticed is that generally their kids are pretty committed to the church. Mm-hmm. But if they're just kind of like, maybe every once in a while, then that's kind of what you see follow suit, right?
Yeah. One of the scriptures that I thought about as we prepared for today is Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 7. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. And I think that scripture passage really emphasizes the responsibility of older generations to pass on faith through daily living and daily example, but also, just like you said, those relationships of intentionality, not just through programs, not just through lessons or even sermons. You know, we are a bunch of pastors, not just through sermons, but through relationships and the stuff of everyday life. Will you tell us a little bit about the sports program that you guys are running this week for children?
I'm gonna let Bo do that because he's the one who's actually running that.
Yeah. So before I got here, we were running Vacation Bible School, like a church would traditionally run Vacation Bible School, sometimes even during the day hours. And we were finding that we were getting, I think, like 70 kids, but they were our kids. We weren't making any dent in the people around us. And we thought, like, Vacation Bible School should be this tool to bring other kids in, introduce them to the gospel, introduce them to church. So before I came around, they found this new sports program called Mega Sports Camp, which took Vacation Bible School, but took it to something that was culturally that others were drawn to. Mm-hmm. And the sports culture, I think we can all agree, is huge. Mm-hmm. The amount of money that goes into it every year, every summer, all throughout the year is amazing. And parents, if they don't see the value in church, they see value in sports, although it's probably lesser value, right? So we started this Mega Sports Camp, DCS Camp, and so our kids will bring, parents will bring their kids for 2.5 hours at night, and they'll do soccer, they'll do flag football, they'll do basketball, they'll spend probably 1 hour, 15 minutes of working on their sports. But when they come in to begin the night, we give them a verse, we give them a theme, which, like, the first night this year was on purpose. Jesus has a purpose for your life. Jesus shows us how to grow was step two last night. So night one, they were introduced to Jesus and the gospel, and Peter, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, but you got to leave the boat. So they were invited to receive the gospel. That's at night two, they're invited to get out of the boat just like Peter got out of the boat. But they're walking through. And what's really been neat is not only is it just a bunch of women running Vacation Bible School, that's also been a trend, right? Because they're the ones who usually, growing up, had time off of work. You have a lot of men now investing in the lives of boys and girls, and they're seeing that they have value to convey the gospel at church. And I think what you were saying about, you read the Shema, that was actually our lesson on Sunday morning here. That just happened to be our lesson this Sunday morning with the kids program. Mm-hmm. It's how normalized we can make faith conversations. It doesn't have to be break open the Bible, explain a verse out of Deuteronomy. It's driving down the road and you see somebody hurting, and so you just, let's pray for them. Mm-hmm. Or it's you're sitting at the table and they're gossiping. Like, is that really a kind of thing to say? What does Jesus say about it? It's just a common conversation. And so we're seeing a bunch of kids come for sports, but we're normalizing conversations about Jesus in that sports environment.
I think that's really intuitive and creative to run a sports faith-based ministry for children, especially during the summer months. But I think that because so much of the older generation's anxiety, and tell me if you don't think this is true, so much of the older generation's anxiety is that sports activities are taking families out of church on Sunday mornings. And so there's a real perception that if kids and young families are not in church on Sunday mornings because sports has taken them away, what is the hope for the future of the church? What is the hope for the faith lives of our children? And it's really neat to see that you guys have such a strong ministry using sports to draw families back into the church, especially families that might not be connected to your specific congregation, but are just here in the community.
You know, one of the things that we've been talking about, though, is we get what people are saying, but I would say that's more church talk with pastors and really committed Christians, right? Because most people send their kids off all the time to all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So if most parents in the church really cared, they wouldn't be sending their kids off, right? One of the things we're trying to illustrate this week in a message is my biggest fear was sports, even though we're using it as an avenue. My biggest fear is we can't, we got to make sure that the kids' identity isn't in sports, though. Because, and that's why we try to bring the gospel into this as well. We need their identity to be in Christ. Because if their identity is in sports, and parents pay tons of money to get their kids ready, and most of them barely get to high school sports, right? So, but they're spending all this investment in doing that. Well, then if the kid doesn't make the team in high school, or they don't make the team in college, if that's all their identity's been, then they think they're worthless. Mm-hmm. But if we can keep the identity in Christ, and then these sports and other things are just an avenue of something we get to do and mm-hmm. get to partake in and all that, then Christ never leaves them, mm-hmm. you know. And mm-hmm. so that's the big thing we're trying to communicate to.
What a wonderful point. Faith formation and identity formation is such a crucial item. And I actually have a question for Father Ed. In the Catholic Church, catechism and the preparation for First Holy Communion is a really big deal. And I wonder if you might explain a little bit to those who might not know what that process is like and why that intentionality is good for young people.
Yeah, we do try to be. It is a difficult thing because even though we are teaching, for example, second graders about the Holy Eucharist and, you know, what First Communion means and it's in a classroom setting, the reality is that if the parents themselves are not that engaged, then even though they're going through the kids are going through the classroom setting to learn, it doesn't really sink in that well. So, you know, so it's still a challenge for us. Same thing with the confirmation. The kids get confirmed typically in at the end of eighth grade, and so you have these teenagers who are coming to the classroom, and we're trying to make it engaging for them. But it's still a classroom setting, and if they, if sports is more important, or if they're just like, well, okay, I just need to come to this because it's, you know, the year I need to learn about everything to do with confirmation. But if it's not really lived in the home, if the parents are really maybe not that supportive or living it, it's not really going to sink in as well. And I think, you know, if we talk about the sports analogy, a lot of times you could tell the parents who really play that particular sport with their kid at home versus the ones who are just, you know, they're sending their kids off to practice. You can tell the parents who are really living that sport at home and playing with the kids, throwing the ball with them, et cetera, because the kid tends to be a lot better and is more engaged. So I think it's anything in life, including the faith life. The most important thing is, like, really it's more my focus or my concern is really on the parents. And like, how do we make sure that the parents themselves are involved? We do have, whenever we have our, what we call PSR, Parish School of Religion, or you might call it Sunday School, we have an actual class that's for the parents themselves. Because we're trying to now get the parents to learn the faith and try to get them engaged. And how deep that goes, I don't know. It's still, you know, not all the parents show up each week. So it's admittedly, it's a struggle for all of us. But I think, you know, we do it because we know that the parents themselves need to have this faith and to live it in their home. And that's going to be the most effective way for them to transmit that faith to their kids. So, you know, that's just the struggle. But, you know, maybe Pastor Bo is, you know, youth catechist and youth minister. Maybe you can give us some more insights on maybe what you notice about how we can get the parents more engaged.
Well, I hear kind of have a similar this conversation about the concern of the people in the church is that, right? The older people in the church is, where are the families? Where are the parents? What can we do for them? And I guess the charge we're talking about here is, if that's our concern, then what are you doing to invest in those kids? Or maybe if we're talking about parents, what are you doing to invest in the young families in your circles, right? I think back to when I was growing up, and I grew up in a small church, unlike this one at all. And some of the most influential people in my life were in their 60s and 70s. And you're not going to see any, I'm air quoting, youth leaders in their 60s and 70s, because they're like, I don't understand kids these days. But those became the most relevant people in my life because they gave me attention. I think back to my grandpa, who he was a silent spiritual giant, but there was a story where he was in the small church out in Washington, D.C., and he found this one kid who was like a fifth grader. And every time he passed the kid in church, my grandpa would give him an elbow. And that was all he would say. He wouldn't do anything else. But every Sunday, that kid knew, Oris noticed me. And that meant something to him. So it's not a matter of, well, I can't teach a Sunday school class to these kids. I can't sit down in a nursery with these kids. But are you doing some intentional act to notice them? Or maybe more importantly, investing in a parent that mm-hmm. you're sitting with in the bleachers, investing in a parent you're seeing at the grocery store. Just mm-hmm. pick one. And start not telling what you're doing wrong, but encouraging them that they have a tool. They have this ability to do something really, really valuable in the life of their family.
I'll tell you, when I was 16 years old, one of the older couples in my church paid my way to go to a United Methodist School of Christian Mission. And it was at Ohio Northern University. It was just a week-long ministry that kind of connected the local church and local participants to the United Methodists' missions across the face of the globe, and it really opened my eyes. So I was 16 years old, and I was sitting in First United Methodist Church of Ada, Ohio, and they asked us to just sit there and reflect on John Wesley's covenant prayer, and that's the prayer where John Wesley says, I'm no longer my own, but I'm yours, O God. And so put me to whatever you want me to do. If you want me to be full, let me be full for you. But if you want me to be empty, I'm okay with that too. Put me to doing or set me aside. I yield everything to your pleasure and to your disposal. And that was the first time as a 16-year-old kid that I realized I could pray that prayer for myself. And I could say to God, whatever you want to do with my life, God, you can have it all. And I came home from that experience saying to my mother, I think God might be calling me to ministry. I wonder if I'm supposed to be a missionary. And it just kind of began that path of exploration. But knowing that God loved me and knowing that somebody made that experience possible for me, to even come to a moment where I could realize that I could give my future to God, and how that really changed my life.
I wanted to touch on, because we're running closer to the end of the show already, it's going really quickly, just the question that we could explore really quickly about parents who might have that concern about their kids falling away. And it could be an adult child, or maybe even a grandchild. And what might be some encouraging words to give these parents hope, or just maybe not be filled with so much anxiety about the salvation, I suppose, of their child. That's probably the biggest worry that they have. Pastor Bo, what do you think?
God plays the long game.
Yes.
All right, and it's also the Holy Spirit's job to convict and to save. It's not our job. We present those opportunities, and as much as we love our kids, they were His first. He loves them infinitely more than we can ever wrap our minds around. So He can do far greater work than we ever can. It's painful. I mean, I tell people, raising little kids is exhausting. It's hard. Raising older kids is exhausting, but it's emotionally draining because you do lose that control. But they're never beyond God's eyes, never beyond God's ability to convert and convict and bring back. And He can work at them when we're not around our kids, God still is. Mm-hmm. And he's always at work in their lives.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate you saying that, because the scripture passage that came to my mind immediately was Philippians 1:6. I'm confident of this, that God, who began a good work in you, is faithful and will see it through to completion in Christ Jesus. And I really appreciate that promise from scripture that God has us, God had us from before we were even born. God will see us through. And that God's, like you said, we were God's before we were anyone else's.
Yeah, one of the things we've been trying to promote too at the church is we want the church to be an inviting place where families can come. And I think the church has got to do a better job of being okay with kids in the service. So like if a kid cries, for example, in my service, I'm like, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm like, I'd rather have a crying kid than a kid not at all. And then the other thing is I always tell the congregation, I'm like, hey, it's a big deal for that parent to have gotten that kid here today. So let's not give them a hard time, right?
Yeah.
Because you know how hard it is and the struggle. And so we got to make them feel welcomed. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing I was thinking of, and I don't know if we have time to explore this, but we've got to do a better job of figuring out how to get our kids involved in ministry things. Because I bet there are times that you were involved in ministry early on, mm-hmm, that still resonate with you today. And if we can make kids more part of the service, like maybe they'll be part of it continuing as they grow older, because now they see purpose and mission and vision and, you know, and they feel like they can be used.
Yes.
Okay, so that's great talking about mission. That's actually going to be our next topic in the next episode. So I'd like to thank Pastor Bo for being here as our guest, and I hope this was fruitful to everybody regarding youth ministry, or just regarding our kids maybe who have fallen away, and just continuing to have hope for them and continuing to pray for them. I'll just ask maybe Pastor Chuck to just leave us with a quick blessing.
Yeah. And Father, we thank you for all those young ones that you've placed in our lives. And you said from them we learn the most. And, you know, out of the mouths of babes come perfected praise, right? And so, Father, allow our praise to be that of a kid's, and to have that childlike faith that is still in awe and wonder of you. We bless this group that's listening today, and ask that you continue to bless our kids as we bring them up in the faith. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, everybody, for listening. God bless you.
Sacred Conversations is heard twice a week on WZMO. Check our website program schedule for times, or you can hear the program on demand from our website anytime. Thank you for listening.